Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Bhakti Vedanta ki, Gunta Raj, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Giriraj Maharaj ki, Goprem Anandi. Okay. So tonight, we are beginning chapter 47. Last night we did an overview, roughly from chapters 24 to 46, which is what we covered last year in our study. And this year, we're over 48 till about chapter 70 or so, roughly. So we're going to go into the Brahma Gita. This is one of the deepest parts of the Bhagavad Gita. This is Srimati Radharani's talks with a bumblebee. So this chapter is called the song of the bumblebee. So far we've heard how many Gitas are there, or songs within the 10th chapter? So far four. Yeah. What are they called? Venu Gita, Gopi Gita, Yogala Gita, Raha Gita, and now Brahma Gita. So this is the song of the bumblebee. So Radharani seems to speak to the bumblebee in divine manner. There are a few more Gitas later on also. There's the Mahishi Gita. There's also a discussion at Kurukshetra between Krishna and the Gopis, also, which is considered to be like a song. Okay. So tonight, we'll go to verse 10. Tonight we'll go to verse 10. Next Monday night, we'll go from 11 till 20, at least. The actual Brahma Gita is text 11 to 20. That's the actual song where Radharani is speaking to the bumblebee in madness. We'll go up to there tonight. Tonight we'll just go from verses 1 to 10 as an introduction. And then we'll go into the Brahma Gita itself next Monday. And we may even go further. We'll see. Okay. So, as we discussed last night, this is arguably the deepest part of the 10th canto of the Bhagavad Gita. Because in this chapter, the gopis are speaking to Uddhava. Krishna has left Vrindavan. And the conversation is based upon Krishna feeling separation from the Brijvasis. And the Brijvasis feeling separation from Lord Krishna. But because they're feeling separation on every level, it doesn't mean you have to be on time with you. They're not around. It's the only time. So, at this point in time, there's a deep level of separation. As we discussed last night, Krishna has not long been out of Vrindavan. So from our account, when we're studying and when we're reading, the time frame is quite different. You know, we'll meet next Monday, so it's a whole week has passed. You know, we do so many things in between. Although our consciousness should stay here in the Bhagavad time, but our consciousness becomes distracted. But we have to understand that in terms of Krishna's pastimes, Krishna leaves Vrindavan. And then when we hear the chapters where he enters into Mathura, even though it takes us, several weeks, a month or more to cover that section, all that's happening for Krishna within a couple of days. And Krishna, the intensity of his emotions and of his devotees is extremely intense during that time. So somehow we have to stay connected to Krishna as much as we can, to Krishna and the residents of Vrindavan, their devotional and their spiritual ecstasies and their emotions and their feelings, their bhavas. So it's an extremely exalted part of the Bhagavad Gita, because Krishna has left. He's left Vrindavan, he's gone out. A bit not that much time has passed. You know, at this point in time, maybe a few months, something like that. It's not a lot of time has passed. And it describes that Krishna stands on the balcony of his palace in Mathura, and he looks at Vrindavan, who's just crying by himself, with tears in his eyes. Because he feels, I mean, Krishna is God, so Krishna can do anything. There's no restriction, there's no limitation placed upon Krishna. He chooses to allow Yogamaya to orchestrate his pastime. Actually, Krishna cannot be bound by anything. But he makes a choice to allow Yogamaya to facilitate his pastimes. He gives her that power and that potency. So she arranges that he leaves Vrindavan because he thinks that his family members are in danger, which on one level they could be. So then he stays in Mathura and he feels like, I cannot go back to Vrindavan. If I go back to Vrindavan, Jarasandha and the other demons who attack and are envious of the other dynasty, they will come to Vrindavan, and while they're marching in there, they'll destroy Vrindavan. The cows, who are Krishna's most cherished object, the cows will be harmed. The Brijbasis themselves could be harmed by an army coming in. They will attack. So Krishna cannot bear that. So he stays in Mathura out of fear of so-called fear or apparent fear of the Brijbasis and the residents of Vrindavan being harmed. Simultaneously, he's satisfying the Yadu dynasty who is living with him in Mathura. And while he's in Mathura, he is thinking, I cannot leave them because they will be too heartbroken. They've been separated from me for a long time and I cannot leave them. As soon as he even speaks about leaving, same as with the bridge buses, then the pain will be so difficult. So he feels an obligation to protect the dynasty, to protect the family. But actually, his heart is tearing apart because he's feeling intense separation continuously from Vrindavan. So then Uddhava is his most confidential associate. Outside of the Brijbasis, it is said that Uddhava is the most exalted devotee. If you read the Brihadbhagavatamrita, the Brihadbhagavatamrita teaches us the levels of devotees. There are different levels of exaltation. So it shows that we have so many different levels of devotees. Narada is traveling. He's going through. What's the name of this one? What's his name? Harry Dave. Did you name him after the digging dog? Yes. He gave that name. Okay. Very good, man. Very good. Oh, I forgot. Go Balak after that. I forgot how he did it. So, Krishna, it describes it so many different devotees, and then it says higher than this devotee, higher than this devotee, Narada is discussing. And finally, it gets to the residents, higher than the Pandavas, are the residents of Mathura, the Yadu dynasty. It says that then of all of the Yadu dynasty, the most exalted is Uddhava. But then it says more exalted than Uddhava are the residents of Vrindavan. So Krishna, feeling separation, he wants to send a message because he feels he cannot physically arrive in Vrindavan. Although, as we discussed at the end of last year, Krishna does go back to Vrindavan. The Bhagavatam does not mention it. It's not mentioned in the Bhagavatam, but the Acharyas do mention he does go back to Vrindavan. Some Acharyas say he even goes back daily to see Srimati Bhadavati in one of his forms, or in his original form. He appears daily to see Bhadavati. In other places it says he goes monthly. In other places it says he goes infrequently. But still, he does go back, even though it does not mention it in the Bhagavatam. So, in order to communicate with them, he has to send messages. So it describes, the Acharyas describe, there are messages going back and forth all the time. Sometimes they will use birds, like they did in the old days. So they'll give the message to the bird and the bird will fly there. Or he'll send a messenger So somehow communication is going on between Vrindavan and Mathura. Now, he wants to send Uddhava with a special message for the gopis. And he also wants to educate Uddhava about the exalted nature of the love of the residents of Vrindavan. So he sends Uddhava. So that's what's taking place in the previous chapter. What was the last chapter called? Uddhava visits Vrindavan. Yeah. So then he visited and he spoke to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda about that. But now, this chapter is called the Song of the Bumblebee. Yeah. So this is called Brahma Gita in Sanskrit. This chapter. So now, Uddhava is about to approach the gopis. Now, the gopis are in a mood of separation from Krishna, as we said last night. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach Vipralamba, Seva, service and separation. This is being shown in this chapter. The gopis are displaying this, especially Srimati Radharani herself, is displaying this, the highest levels of emotion. Now, as we said last night, it sounds simplistic. So we're going to read it. Some people in this world would read it and get absolutely feel absolutely nothing. We may read it and feel very little. And the fact is, the most intense and exalted emotions in prema, in love of God, between the jiva and the living entity, between the Supreme Lord and his internal potency, is being explained in this chapter. So arguably we could say it's the most exalted chapter in the entire Bhagavad Gita. So it's up to us to study it seriously, and with the right consciousness, some drops of the nectar ocean of these pastimes can inundate us and change our consciousness, change our heart. Okay, so we'll read the verses. Does anyone have any points so far? Just get that door, click it, just so it stops making that silly noise. Oh, she's coming back in. Yeah, okay. What do we do? Okay. Thank you. Okay. Text number 1 and 2. Sukadeva Goswami said, the young women of Braj became astonished upon seeing Lord Krishna's servant, who had long arms, whose eyes resembled a newly grown lotus, who wore a yellow garment and a lotus garland, and whose lotus-like face glowed with brightly polished earrings. Who is this handsome man? The gopis asked. Where has he come from, and who does he serve? He's wearing Krishna's clothes and ornaments. Saying this, the gopis eagerly crowded around Uddhava, whose shelter was the lotus feet of Lord Uttama Shloka, Sri Krishna. So what do we learn? As you notice, in this BBT edition of the 10th canto, there are not many purports. But Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur appears quite elaborate. So if you're reading his commentary and the commentary of the other guys, you'll find there's quite a lot to say. Are there any points here? Any other points? Because Lord Chaitanya, in the mood in these pastimes, especially in the Gambhira, he was always in the mood of separation from Krishna. So he came to display what is being spoken of here in the Bhagavatam Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna wanting to relish the mood of Srimati Radharani. Mm-hmm. So he's relishing the same sentiments and emotions which only Radharani can understand in this section of the Bhagavatam. This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. He's teaching us by his example. He's chanting in the mood of separation, with a feeling of separation. Any other point? Yeah.
While wearing Krishna's clothes, so it looks like Krishna's bigger than your clothes, so it says a few things, I think. The first thing is it authenticates him as Krishna's friend, the way that Sita, when Sita gets the ring from Arjuna, so it authenticates him that he's sent by Krishna. So it gives him a little bit more credibility with the gopis to listen to him and to be kind to him and treat him correctly, yep, in the both ways. And I also think it shows the intimacy and the love he has for Uddhava, and that's another sign. And also it gives the gopis some, because Krishna is not different from his paraphernalia and his clothes or his anything of his. So it's almost like Krishna himself visiting. So that's for our people.
Yeah, so what's being described here in this chapter is Mahabhava. Right? There are seven levels of prema. These different seven levels of prema, they lead up to the most exalted level, which is only experienced by Srimati Radharani and her most intimate associates. But Radharani experiences it to the greatest degree. It's called Mahabhava. Radharani is known as Mahabhava Sarupini. Her very sarupa, her form, is constituted of Mahabhava. Mahabhava means the most intense emotions in relation to Krishna. So what is shown particularly in this chapter is what is called Chitrajalpa. Chitrajalpa means very special talks, speech. Radharani speaks, it says, in seven different ways. It's like mad talking, when someone speaks like a mad person. Who speaks to a bee? People do not speak to bees. You saw in the previous chapters when the gopis were searching for Krishna in the Rasa Lila. They were speaking to trees, to deers, to the clouds. You know, this is madness. Divine mad talking. So Radharani is displaying this, especially in this chapter. She has the entire conversation, the 10 verses, with a bee. Now we'll learn next week the bee is actually Krishna. That's not mentioned in the Bhagavad. It doesn't mention, but the Acharyas explain it's actually Krishna. Krishna comes as the bee to see Srimati Radharani. And he wants to see the conversation between Uddhava and the gopis. Mm-hmm. And he wants to hear, as he did in the Gopi Gita. Remember in the Gopi Gita he was hiding on the other side of the bush, right? Because he wanted to hear the sentiments of the gopis. So in the same way, it's the same situation. We'll see that the bee becomes stunned. Krishna's flying, he's up in the vines, and because he's sitting there, a large black bee, sitting there, he's watching, and then the other bees begin to come around him, because it's Krishna. So it's the old attractive bee. So all the bees begin to fly around. So he's trying to concentrate on the conversation between the gopis and Uddhava. And then they compare him, the gopis speak, and they say he is like a bumblebee. Because the bumblebee goes from flower to flower. And some men who are not well behaved, they go to different women. They go to one woman, then another woman, then another woman, and another woman like this. So they say he's like that. He's like the bumblebee. Bumblebee just moves around different flowers, taking some pollen from each one. Krishna is like that. He just goes to different women, and then he disappears. So then, when they compare him to a bumblebee, he gets nervous because he thinks, oh, wait a minute, they know I'm here. Because he's in the form of a bumblebee. So then he begins to fly down, and at that moment, Radharani looks at the bee who's flying down, and she looks at him, and when she looks at him, the bee becomes stunned. Because it's Krishna. So Radharani directly looking at him, he just becomes stunned. He can't fly. He can fly, but he can't move. So he just hovers. He's just hovering, and he's just in front of her. And then she sees the bumblebee, and then she begins to speak to the bumblebee. Because it looks like Krishna. Krishna sometimes compared to the bumblebee. They're both blackish. So then she begins to have the conversation, and that's the Brahma Gita, where she speaks to the bumblebee. So what she says in that section, these are the highest levels of love of God. Nothing more exalted, nothing higher. So once again, it's up to us to distill something out of it or to take something from it. You know, what we're about to read is the Samambona. As we said, the 10th canto is the Ashraya. It's the final abode. There's nothing higher than the 10th canto. Right? And then within the 10th canto, this is the highest section, you know, possibly. The most intense emotions. Whether or not we feel anything, that's up to us. It's up to reciprocation. Krishna says in Gita, Yayatam mam prapatyanti tamstataiva vajamyaham. As you surrender, I reward you. So if we're in the mood of the gopis, which is what we're supposed to be, following in the mood of the gopis, gopi bhava, the six Goswamis, Srinivas Acharya, he writes that the gopis, sorry, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan were in Gopi Bhava, in the Shad Goswami Ashtaka. They're in the mood of the gopis. So that's what we're meant to also develop, that mood. The following the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. Back in the 1970s, some devotees in Los Angeles, after breakfast, they would have morning program and breakfast, and they would come back into the temple and they begin to read pastimes of Krishna with the gopis from the Krishna book, the Bhagavad Gita. So then Prabhupada was there actually, and he said to one devotee, he said, what's taking place in the temple? And he said, oh, some devotees are, they call it the Gopi Bhav Club. So they're going to the temple to read about the gopis. Prabhupada said, stop that immediately. He said, do not read exclusively about the gopis with Krishna, until you're on that platform. We're studying this systematically. So systematically, this is the correct way. Like we said last night, 12 years or something. This is a serious study. Some devotees have been here for 12 years. We're studying this very systematically. This is actually the way to do it. I cannot be rushed into it. Cannot be. And even now, after 12 years of study, we're not qualified. Actually, to hear this. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada's guru, who was very conservative actually, when he was on the planet, he went to Radhakund. And I've heard some accounts said that when he drove into Radhakund, he was in like a big, like a Jaguar car. Old cars, big British cars. So he drove in like that. He got out and went to Radhakund. He was dressed in like a... have you seen pictures of him? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Sometimes he's dressed in a big coat with a turban and like a British person. You know, shoes on and looking very regal. Like a king or a prince or something like that. He was a sannyasi. You see other pictures of him, he's very renowned. You see some pictures, he's dressed very nice. That was all for preaching. He was dressed like that to preach, to attract the Westerners, the British. So he came to Radhakund, and then when he got to Radhakund, all the Babaji, they said, speak on Krishna's pastimes with the gopis. So what did he speak on? Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Verse 1, Chapter 1. And I've heard that he spoke for 2 or 3 months, and he didn't go off that verse. To show that you have to be qualified. So we can't rush into these things. And now that we're studying it, but it was interesting because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he also said, and it's interesting because he was very conservative, he wouldn't jump into these things. He didn't encourage devotees to artificially or superficially or prematurely enter into these topics. But he also said, there was another statement which I've mentioned a number of times, where he says that a devotee who's been practicing Krishna consciousness for 15 or 20 years, seriously, should be taking interest in these kind of topics. This is the natural conclusion or the natural development of your Krishna consciousness. You should become attracted to the pastimes of Vrindavan with Krishna. So this is something that has to be done appropriately and properly. So these are the most exalted pastimes. Now, why are the gopis, they've seen it, whatever, and they're astonished, the Bhagavatam says. Astonished because he looks very similar to Krishna. Actually, it describes Uddhava is a walking festival. Mm-hmm. Someone like, it comes to my mind, is like Indrajumna Swami. Mm-hmm. To me, in my mind, that's like, he's a walking festival. Wherever he walks, it's like a festival begins to manifest. So it says, Uddhava is like that. He's a walking festival. Wherever he goes, he creates this movie. Such an exalted personality. He's the same color as Krishna. Because he became saint, he's so absorbed, he's Krishna's cousin, brother, and out of love, he's prema for Krishna, he's taken on the same charm complexion. He looks very similar to Krishna, he's extremely beautiful, extremely handsome, like Krishna, being his cousin brother. And he takes a vow that he will only wear Krishna's remnants. So when the gopis see him, he's dressed in a yellow dhoti. He's even wearing, it says he wears the earrings, so he must be wearing some of Krishna's earrings that Krishna was wearing formerly. And he's so attracted, they become astonished, and they recognize he is a messenger of Krishna. And when you meet someone who is very exalted in consciousness, and you connect with that person, immediately you want to share intimate things with them. Have you had that experience? Sometimes you meet someone. It happened to me today, by Lord Nityananda's mercy, is devotee, Amarendra Prabhu, right? I had met him before. And as soon as we met, it was like something happened. And then we both got the feeling we could reveal intimate things to each other. You know, just immediately, by the arrangement of Krishna. It happens sometimes. It's a great fortune when that happens. It mentions in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that when Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy, they saw each other for the first time, just by looking at each other, they felt like we could exchange everything. So when the gopis saw Uddhava, that's how they felt. This is someone that we can actually open our hearts to, because the hearts are burning with the pain of separation from Krishna. He will understand. Sometimes you can meet a devotee and just by looking, you just know they understand. And when you're advanced in Krishna consciousness, two advanced devotees meet, just by looking at each other, they understand we can exchange intimate things. Just like Ramananda Roy and Mahaprabhu. So, Uddhava, he had come before the gopis, and the gopis are normally very shy. In a cultured civilization, the women are very chaste. Now, that's one of the most exalted qualities of an exalted woman, a cultured woman. She's chaste. She's controlled. The gopis are the most exalted, most cultured women. So when Uddhava came, normally they wouldn't say to a man, you know, come to an intimate place and we'll discuss intimate topics. You don't do that. But when they saw Uddhava, you know, they were very shy, so they looked down, you know, but they all began to look at each other. They were smiling because they were looking at each other. And they were saying, he knows Krishna. Mm-hmm. Like they came back to life. He knows Krishna. He's been sent here by Krishna. So then they said to Uddhava, you know, they're very shy, but they said to Uddhava, they said, please come. We want to speak with you. So they took him to a shelter place. Do you know where that place is? It's near Nandagram. Have you been to Nandagram? Anyone been to Nandagram? You been? Yeah. Nandagram? It's just near Nandagram. It's called Uddhava Kiari. If you go up to the top of Nandagram, have you anyone been to Uddhava Kiari? No? Okay. Yeah. So it's not far, just like... Yeah, walking distance. Very close. If you go up to the top of the hill, you know, there's usually pandas up there. You give them some money, they'll take you around, they'll say, this is Pavansarovara, this is Vrindakun, this is Uddhava Kiari, this is Kekananda. They'll point out. So if you go up there, they'll point to you, they'll say, they'll tell you, this is Uddhava Kiari. When I went there with my Guru Maharaj, a long time ago, early 90s, there were still some trees there. Now it's just cleared. It's just like a field. There's something out in the middle, like a well or something. I say that's Uddhava Kiari. So at that place, that is where the gopis, it was like a forest area back then in Krishna's time. So they took, it was like a sheltered area. So they went into the forest and they sat with him. And that's where this pastime is taking place. Very intimate. So if you get to go to Nandagram, you can go to Uddhava Kiari and you can offer your obeisances, take the dust of that place. Very exalted. Any points? Okay. How are you enjoying this so far? Okay. Well, from their side, they didn't realize he was coming. He knew he was coming. Krishna said, go and give a message to them. There's a letter which he's carrying. But they didn't know he was coming. So it's like they came back to life. Because they knew he was Krishna's messenger. And that just, and they just started smiling. Because they looked at each other, and they're just looking at each other, and they're saying, this is, who knows Krishna? So for them it was like the most, besides Krishna himself coming, it was the most satisfying moment. Same place. Uddhava Kiari. Radharani is there. Everyone's there. All the gopis are there. Bowing their heads in humility, the gopis duly honored Uddhava with their shy, smiling glances and pleasing words. They took him to a quiet place, seated him comfortably, and began to question him, for they recognized him to be a messenger from Krishna, the master of the goddess of fortune. Mahamaji, can you read that? Oh, you don't have it?
Yes. The chase gopi was endeavored to see that a messenger had come from Krishna. As Uddhava discovered during his stay in Vrindavan, the unit gopi could not think of anything but their beloved
Krishna. Any points? Always thinking of Krishna.
Yeah.
Anything else? Very good. explain the important points. Okay, so as we said, these girls, this is a very bold act actually. We only act boldly when we are intensely attached to something. If you're not attached to something, you won't be bold. All of us are like that. Like, you know, we're shy, we're nervous, we get uncomfortable in social situations. So, you know, when we're somewhere and we have to do something, but we feel like, oh, I can't do that. You know, sometimes someone will say to me, you know, say, oh, go and speak to that person. So, oh, I can't speak to them. Or, you know, go and do that. Oh, I can't do that. But sometimes, you know, you have to become bold to do something. So the gopis, they're being very bold. Because this man has come into the village who they haven't met before, and then they're going to, because they're shy by nature, and they want to be shy, and they want to be chased, but they're so excited, and they go to him and they say, come with us. And they take him, and they take him away when no one is watching, to a deep part of the forest. So these are very bold. Their attachment to Krishna is so strong, they can't resist.
Just like because they're doing it for Krishna, it's fine. So, okay. And the second thing, I was just thinking about how the girl, as we go further into Kali Yuga, and technology increases, we're moving away from the relationship of things with the spiritual world. So, for example, now we have Facebook, and there are more spiritual, they never miss each other. When I was young, if we liked somebody or somebody like us, I also grew up in a conservative, very conservative family. So sometimes a friend would come and tell you that he's been doing shit, and you just can't wait to hear what they're going to say. Of course, nothing like that, but as a small example,
yeah,
people don't have that anymore.
Yeah, the culture breeds the tension.
That's right, and it's so relishable, so beautiful to talk to a bumblebee instead of messenger.
Yeah, so it shows the strength of their desire. Because you remember when it went back to the Rasa dance, chapter 29, when Krishna called them out into the forest? So I think at that point it said they gave up four things. Does anyone remember what they're...
Family?
Yeah.
Fear?
Yeah.
Shyness?
Chastity? It mentions specifically, Vishnu says four or five things they had to give up. They had to give up their social.
Ula
means?
Your family.
Yeah. Family, like tradition, culture, social pressure and obligation. They rejected that. But once again, here they're rejecting that. It's not appropriate what they're about to do, but they're so strong in their desire they cannot resist. Right? Chastity, that's been given up. Shyness, that's been given up. What were the other ones? Fear, yeah, tradition. Fear, right? Scared, that then they just say, so be it. Yeah? Our lives couldn't be any worse anyway. Krishna's not here anymore, so what have we got to live for? So, no fear. Oh, the elders will come and chastise? Let them chastise. We just want to hear what he's going to tell us something about Krishna. That's how strong their attachment is to Krishna. So now they're going into the forest. And then, specifically, they call him Ramapati. Who is Ramapati? What does Pati mean?
Husband of
Lakshmi Deva, Rama. Yeah, Rama means Lakshmi, the wife of, the goddess of fortune, the wife of Narayan. Because they know Krishna is Narayan. So he's gone to Mathura. And they know that if he's there, he's going to get married. He's the prince of the Yadu dynasty. He can't be. You know, who was the only example of anyone we know who was the great king who didn't get married? Yeah, only Bhishma. And there he is. That's why he was called Bhishma. Why did they give him the name Bhishma? What does the word Bhishma mean? Awesome. Yeah, everyone says these days, awesome. That's like the word in the world. They said everything's awesome. The demigods, when he took that vow that he would not get married, as the head of the dynasty, we're not the, not like an ordinary kshatriya, but like the most powerful kshatriya on the earth. Right? His father Shantanu did austerities to get a son as powerful as Balaram, who could not be killed by anyone, who on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, on the first day of the battle, when he was the general of the army, he killed 10,000 chariot warriors by himself. Right? The most powerful warrior. He could have killed every one of the Pandavas, right? But he took a vow, he said he wouldn't kill them. And then when he was insulted by Duryodhan, and Duryodhan said, you're not killing them. And he said, well, give, he said, tomorrow I'll kill all of them. Here, take these 5 arrows, and when I ask you tomorrow, you give me each arrow, that's just for each one. And then Krishna comes and steals the arrows. And the next morning, he said, okay, give me the arrow for Arjuna. And he said, I gave it away. He said, oh, Krishna is playing tricks. So a kshatriya cannot live without a wife. In those days, the kshatriyas had many wives. Krishna's father, Vasudeva, I believe, had about 16 wives. Right? That was not uncommon for these very powerful kshatriyas. So they know, now he's living in the city, he's a member of the Yadu dynasty, he's Narayan, he's going to get married. So Ramapati means he's going to get married to Lakshmi Devi. She herself is going to come and marry him. Because now he's living over there, he has to get a wife. So where does that leave us? So at this point in time, this is Mahabhav. Mahabhav means they're showing man, jealous anger. Right? And as we described last year, Srimati Radharani, she gets angry with Krishna and shows man. But what is her, when she says like that, she says Ramapati, or he's going to marry the goddess of fortune, and she's feeling jealous of the goddess of fortune. What is she actually feeling? Yeah, very good. Yeah, that's the sentiment of Radharani. Radharani is only jealous and angry. You see, why is he wasting his time over there? Why is he wasting his time over there? Just come back here and be with me. Because you know that no one can satisfy you except for me completely. So why do you waste your time? That's why she gets all upset all the time.
Well, she knows before.
She knows, yeah. She feels his pain. So at the moment they're a little bit angry, the Gopis. They're saying, oh, Ramapati. Yeah. Off marrying the goddess of fortune. So they're in this mood. When they're in this level of consciousness, every moment looks like their emotions change. You know, like they speak, we read that back in the Gopi Gita in those places. They get very angry, but then suddenly the next moment they think, oh, we can't say that, and then they become very humble. So you'll see this in the Song of the Bumblebee. She also speaks like this. So that is the mood. So it's a significant word. It's a Ramapati. Any points? The Gopi said, we know that you are the personal servant of Krishna, the chief of the Yadus, and that you have come here on the order of your good master, who desires to give pleasure to his parents. So in this verse, what do they call him? Yadupati. It's also significant. Why do they call him Yadupati? The lord of the other dynasty. Yeah. Yeah, Pati means protector. It's the name of the husband. The husband is called Pati because he is the protector. Yeah. He's the Yadu Pati. He is the lord of the Yadu dynasty. So they're saying, oh, this is their mood at the moment. They're saying, oh, Yadu Pati. And now he thinks he is the lord of the Yadu dynasty. But now he's concerned about his reputation over there. He's in Mathura. He's the prince. Well, he has to be, everyone will criticize him. Everyone in Mathura will be speaking about him. Oh, he was brought up for 10 years by Nanda and Yashoda. And now he's living there, he doesn't even come to see them. So now to protect his own credibility, then he is sending a messenger. Oh, you know, he'll write a note to Nanda and Yashoda. In the last chapter then, Uddhava is speaking to Nanda and Yashoda. Now that he's coming back and he's saying, oh, I miss you so much, and you are my, I cannot live without you, and you are my parents for so many years, and, you know, saying all these sweet words, the messages which he's sending back. So say, oh, no, Yadupati is speaking like this. So he cares about his parents. He doesn't care about us. Mm-hmm. This is their emotions. They're feeling intense separation from him. He doesn't care about us. Their emotions are overwhelming them. Yadupati, you know, he worries about his reputation, but we were just some girls that he came to visit. Now he's left and he's going to go and marry. He'll just forget about us. We were just some girlfriends he had when he was young. Now he's going to get married to his wife. He won't even think about us. So they're quite angry at Krishna at the moment. This is a sentiment in the mood of love in prema. Obviously cannot be imitated. None of these things can be imitated. We can't get angry at Krishna. Because our anger towards Krishna is false and it's superficial. Their anger towards Krishna gives him unlimited pleasure and is an expression of their love. As devotees, we just have to be careful. Like, I was in Vrindavan temple a few years ago. I was in front of Radha Shamasundara in Vrindavan and Krishna Balaram. One of the most beautiful deities in the universe. You know, such beautiful, beautiful deities. And there was some girl there, some devotee, Sahajiya. I think even maybe ISKCON or, I don't know, maybe not ISKCON, but she's talking to the deities. You know, there's a number of people, you know, maybe 10 of us there taking darshan. But she's saying, hey, Krishna, and having some conversation with Krishna, like she's talking to him. And it's quite obvious, you just look at her, you know she's not talking to Krishna. And she's going like this, and then the doors are shutting. She's going, hey, no, Krishna, no, don't shut the door. Don't. I'm thinking, you know, what are you doing? You know, I'm trying to hear, I only come here once a year, and I want to actually be with them. Right? And sincerely try to, you know, quietly connect with them. And you're acting like some Sahajiya fool. So, obviously, I mean, I don't think anyone here is going to do any of these things, but we should not ever become angry with Krishna superficially. You're going to get angry with Krishna, you have to be on, you know, it's a different level. Yeah, it's inspired by love. At the moment, where if we get angry with Krishna, it's only inspired by one thing, you know, our selfish desire. Sometimes we do get angry with Krishna. Oh, Krishna, why did you do that? Why did you do that? You know, that's not love. That means he's our servant. It should be the other way, we're his servant. The gopis, they think, I am the servant of Krishna. And their love is so strong. Then, as the servant of Krishna, they say, wait a minute, you're my servant. Start doing what I'm telling you. Come back to Vrindavan now and be with us. Okay. But this, you know, all these things cannot be imitated. I don't think anyone here, but it's just, this is the way the acharyas are teaching us. Any points? Yeah. And it's actually one of the seven stages of prema, man. The spiritual world operates on anger. It's part of the, you know, when you cook, there's a few spices you have to have, say coriander, cumin, ashwagandha, turmeric. But in the pastimes, there's a few emotions that cannot be avoided. And one of them is man. Yeah. Can't be avoided. So yeah, it's every day. You know. You have a question? Okay, so that's quite a exalted question. How old are you? Yeah, I mean, not in Yom Kippur. I mean, that's a very good question. If Radharani is expanded into Satyabhama and is with him in Mathura and Dwarka, why is there separation? Satyabhama is just a partial expansion. Not like the full, it's not Radharani, it's just like part of Radharani, or like her energy. And it's not actually Radharani. And Satyabhama can never feel what Radharani feels. And actually in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there's one point where, and also in other places the Acharyas explain, that Krishna is living in Dwarka. One time he says to Satyabhama, he says, "You proud girl, the only reason I stay with you is because you remind me of the gopis in Vrindavan." So Krishna only lives with all the queens, because he has to, be out of Vrindavan. Just because they remind him of the gopis, so they can't replace the gopis. Does that answer your question? Anything you want to add? It's a very good question, but I'm doing very well. Quite exceptional. Okay. Any other points? Yeah, there's certain spices I can live without. It's true. Okay. Which verse are we on? 5? Is it 5? We see nothing else he might consider worth remembering in these cow pastures of Braj. Indeed, the bonds of affection for one's family members are difficult to break, even for a sage. So they're actually in the commentary, because there's more conversation than what is written here. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, they're comparing him to being like a sannyasi. Because a sannyasi can give up attachment to everything in this world. But it mentions even for sannyasis, it's very difficult to give up attachment to their parents. You see, even Lord Chaitanya, right, he was about to leave, and Mother Sati said, "I want you to stay in Puri, Jagataka Swami, Veda Vyasa Maharaj, Radhanath Swami, Vokish Maharaj, you see. The sannyasi is very detached from this world, but still there's some connection to the parents. Jayadvaita Swami, who's known to be a very renowned sannyasi in ISKCON, he went traveling through India with his mother, took her to all the temples. It is there. It's a very difficult relationship to break. So the gopis are saying, he broke the relationship with us, but he could not break it with his parents. That's why he's all of us come back, and that's why he sent the message. He's just worrying about his reputation. He doesn't care about us. And he should care about us, because we love him more than anyone. So he's acting very inappropriately. They're quite angry with him. The friendship shown toward others, those who are not family members, is motivated by personal interest, and thus it is a pretense that lasts only until one's purpose is fulfilled. Such friendship is just like the interest men take in women or bees in flowers. So this is in verse 11. This is where the Brahma Gita begins. So this is why Krishna is the bee who is sitting just above, listening to all of this. This is why Krishna leaves his post. Because here they mention the bee. And he thinks, "Oh, they know I'm here." So then he begins to fly there. That's when Radharani captures him in her vision. What's that?
Krishna is standing in front of us.
Yes, the bee reminds her of Krishna. Because he has the same color as the bee, or similar color.
There's an added layer to the anger is accusatory.
That's how they're feeling.
He loves his parents, but he doesn't love them.
Yeah, it's the same sentiment. Prostitutes abandon a penniless man. So now they're giving what is called Deepika. What does Deepika mean? No, Deepika. Deepak.
Yeah.
The lamp, yeah, Deepaka,
Deepika,
the light, very good light, Deepika Nyaya. So when you give class, we all do this when we give class, Prabhupada did it, Bhagavatam does it, Shukadeva Goswami, everyone does it. Whenever you give class, you give examples. All of us do it. You say, oh, this happened, then you give an example, oh, like this. So now they're giving class to Krishna. He's not there, but now they're giving it to Uddhava, actually. Yeah. He's a rascal. Now I'll give you some examples to show you how you can understand what he's like. Are you all ready? Yeah. You know, someone gets really angry and they start saying, you are a rascal, and you know why you're a rascal? I'll give you some examples. Right, so now, so they're doing this. They say, prostitutes abandon a penniless man, subjects, an incompetent king, students, their teacher, once they have finished their education, and priests, a man who has remunerated them for a sacrifice. So these are good examples. These are like a Kali Yuga priest. You know, like you go to Vrindavan, I go to Vrindavan. You go to some temples, give me money, give me money. I harass you. You give something just to, and they just walk away. No, I don't care. Just the money, that's all it is. That's how they're feeling Krishna is like. No one likes that feeling. They feel, when he just goes and he leaves us. So they're very upset with him. Birds abandon a tree when its fruits are gone. Guests, a house once they have eaten. Animals, a forest that is burnt down. And a lover, the woman he has enjoyed, even though she remains attached to him. Thus speaking, the gopis, whose words, bodies, and minds were fully dedicated to Lord Govinda, put aside all their regular work. Now that Krishna's messenger, Sri Uddhava, had arrived among them, constantly remembering the activities their beloved Krishna had performed in his childhood and youth, they sang about them and cried without shame. So, normally we don't cry in front of other people. You know, socially it's considered very difficult. You know, one of us bursts down in tears, and you know, everyone, like, it's not something we do often. You don't feel comfortable doing that in public. You know, going out and just, you know, beginning to cry. But even though they're with Uddhava, who's they've never met before, and they're with him, but their emotions are so strong, and they feel such a sense of connection to him. Right? It's rare that you'll meet someone who really understands you. Even in our lives, it's rare. You know, we have so many friends. There's only some friends who really understand us, like our close friends. So you'll cry in front of them, but you won't cry in front of other people. You know, you won't say things in front of other people. But they're so comfortable and confident with Uddhava, they're just going to give everything. So their emotions are good. Now they start crying. Because we're so upset with Krishna, and you can understand how upset we are. So they begin to cry and they begin to say all these things. So, it is pointed out, they say themselves, we were attached to him when he was young. Always been attached to him, right? And one time Prabhupada said, because Prabhupada is a resident of Vrindavan, Prabhupada said, I never remember a time when I did not forget Krishna. He said that. He said that to my Guru Maharaj. He said, I never remember a time when I did not remember Krishna. I always remembered Krishna. That's what they were like. Just from the time they were young, all they could think about was Krishna. All the time. They never thought anything else. So the acharyas point out, this shows there's no lust. Because when you're 5 years old, you don't have lust. But they were attached to him. And when they got older, it wasn't suddenly that lust came into them. The lust that apparently was there was prema. There's no lust. That's what the acharya is pointing out. That's the essence of these pastimes. When we're free from lust, we understand these pastimes. As long as we have lust, we'll never understand these pastimes. That's the basic premise of this entire section of the Bhagavatam. And I know for myself, I feel helpless as a devotee because my heart is still full of lust and I can't understand this pastime. And to be honest, and I said this to you last year as well, I don't even know how to give it up. You know, I practice all these years of enchanting, I do everything I'm supposed to do. It's still there. You know, I would say it's diminishing. But for it to be gone, I'm a little mystified, to be honest. And today I've been actually praying to Lord Nityananda and having internal dialogue with him, just saying, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do at this point and how it is overcome. I'm praying to you, you know, and I know that the Lord will do something. I know he will. But on my own strength, I don't even know. Because I still can't understand all this. Although I want to, but I can't understand. I'm understanding, but not in the depth I should be. And that's only for that one reason, because there's still lust in the context. So that's the basic premise of this entire section. You have to give up lust if you want to attain prema. That famous verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Atmendriya Priti and Karmendriya Priti, the definition of lust and the definition of love. They're two totally different things. Okay. So we'll stop there. Any points? Key memory verses? Okay. Can I give them to you next week? I'll give you key memory verses next week. I'll give you open book topics next week. And I'll get the next section of... Yeah, the student manual. Yeah, I'll get that for you for next week because we're going on for the next section. Okay, please keep up with your fees. I want the course to be a bit more pucker this year. Don't come in late, all those things. Let's keep it a bit more together. You know, keep up with your fees. You know, I've got enough going on in my life and then I have to chase all of you guys. Because I have to give the fees to the temple. If I don't give the fees, they start getting on my case or how come, you know, it's like a deal I've got with the temple and everything. So let's just make this course simple for everyone. This year, let's just run it nicely. Come on time, give your fees regularly. Don't, you know, like that. Then we can just concentrate on the Bhagavatam. And get as deep as we can. So next week I'll give you the course material and most of it. Shrila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.